Hello everyone, it's great to be back once again. As you all know, I took an extended leave of absence, but it's great to be back here. But enough about me. Today's SCP is SCP-323, otherwise known as the Wendigo Skull. Object class, Euclid. Special containment procedures. SCP-323 is to be kept in a 17-meter by 17-meter by 17-meter concrete containment cell in Site-91. The object is to be restrained in the center of the cell within a 1-meter cubed container of 8.8-centimeter thick transparent armor lined with one-way laminate, which is to be fit with one electronically locked access port. This container is to be internally lit, with the surrounding cell kept dimmer to facilitate the one-way laminate. The cell is to be surveyed remotely at all times, and any signs of activity are to be reported. No personnel are to enter SCP-323's containment cell except to examine the integrity of SCP-323's restraint measures. The restraint measures are to be examined bi-weekly, and any signs of damage are to be repaired immediately. All personnel who enter 323's containment cell are to be accompanied by an armed guard. Personnel are not to be within 323's containment cell for longer than 45 minutes, and any communication around 323 is to be written or spoken in a language other than English or French. In the event of 323 breaches containment, and an instance of 323-1 is formed, personnel are to evacuate Site-91 and the site is to be locked down. Remote units are to be deployed to destroy the body of 323-1. Following this, armed personnel may be sent in to re-establish the containment of 323. Description. SCP-323 is a skull of an undefined cervid measuring 55 centimeters long, 27 centimeters wide, and 31 centimeters tall, with a pair of antlers measuring 35 centimeters tall and 46 centimeters from tip to tip, growing from the left and right sides of 323. 323 shows signs of damage consistent with outside exposure, with regular pitting, scarring, and weathering across the object, bleaching the upper surfaces, and a missing lower mandible. The rear of the skull features an approximately centered ovoid gap, measuring 25 centimeters high and 23 centimeters wide, giving the access to an interior space 16 centimeters deep. This gap shows signs of tool use, indicating that it was carved with tools, possibly stone. 323 displays the ability to react to aorial, tactical, and visual stimuli. Testing has revealed 323 appears to have a field of view similar to that of other cervids, and has responded to visual stimuli from up to 50 meters away. The targeting of specific members of personnel, various attempts to breach containment, and the violent reaction towards speakers of the French and English languages suggests a level of sapience. However, this is unconfirmed. 323 is capable of limited locomotion, typically in the form of small movements and vibrations. In most cases, 323 will only locomote in the event of various stimuli, such as moving away when touched or turning when personnel are presented within the containment chamber. 323 has demonstrated the ability to make large movements, such as lunging at personnel and repeatedly attempting to force its way through containment measures. 323 exerts an influential effect in a radius extending roughly 15 meters from itself. Individuals within this radius will begin experiencing cannibalistic thoughts and urges, violent outbursts and impaired judgment after approximately 1 hour of continuous exposure. Roughly 74% of individuals who reach this point will attempt to place their heads through the gap present in the back of 323, with efforts made to keep their mouths uncovered. If an individual is incapable of fitting their heads through the gap, attempts will be made to bludgeon their heads against nearby hard surfaces until the point of the individual's head fits. The individual loses consciousness, or the individual expires. Once the individual has fit their head through 323, the individual is classified as SCP-323-1. Within 10 minutes of putting SCP-323 on, 323-1 will undergo drastic physical alterations. 323-1 will experience a rapid loss of body fat, body hair, and pigmentation, followed by the rupturing of the distal phalanges from the fingertips, abnormal tooth growth, and the blackening of extremities consistent with frostbite. Additionally, 323-1 appears to experience greater strength and pain tolerance than the average human. However, 323-1 still appears to be susceptible to physical harm as it was prior to introduction to 323. 323-1 metabolism will experience a dramatic increase, requiring a constant calorie intake, with starvation occurring anywhere between 15 to 30 minutes, if no self-preservation efforts are made. In order to sustain its increased metabolism, 323-1 will actively seek out and eat other individuals for sustenance until expiration. In the event of 323-1 is incapable of finding plentiful nourishment, 323-1 will make efforts to sustain itself, including limiting movement, rationing available food, and auto-cannibalism. 323-1 will only feed upon humans. It is presumed that 323-1 is capable of receiving sustenance from other sources, but chooses not to, despite availability or ease of access. During the pursuit of individuals, 323-1 has been known to occasionally make various statements in the Severn Ojibwe, Potawatomi, and Cree languages. I apologize if I pronounced any of those wrong, as well as the native languages of the instance. It is not known if these statements and the knowledge of these languages is a result of 323's influence or if they originate from 323 itself. The following audio log has been transcribed from surveillance recovered during 11/09/06 containment breach of 323, which resulted in the death of 12 personnel members before containment could be reestablished. No accompanying video surveillance could be recovered. Hungry. So hungry. I must eat. So very hungry. Always, always hungry. Must not eat. I have to eat. So hungry. So lonely. Alone. Hungry. Should eat. Must eat them all. I must eat. To know warmth. So cold. Must eat. End log. SCP-323 was recovered on 9/12/97 in the Bittern Lake Reserve, part of the Lac La Rouge First Nation in Saskatchewan, Canada. Redacted. A small, unregistered community has been sustaining an active 323-1 instance by routinely murdering individuals and leaving them out as appeasement. Investigation revealed redacted individuals were involved, who were interviewed and subsequently administered amnestics, and a recovery story involving an undefined serial killer was propagated. 323-1, at the time suspected to be the anomaly, died of starvation during the transfer to Site 91. The recorded number of deaths does not appear consistent with the duration of the 323-1 instance. It is suspected 323 went through several instances of 323-1 before containment. However, no irrefutable evidence supporting 323-1's longevity has been uncovered. Interview, SCP-323-A. James Namagoose, sorry if I pronounced that wrong, an individual involved in the murders and sustaining of SCP-323-1 prior to its containment, was brought in for questioning involving 323-1. Mr. Namagoose remained unusually calm throughout and after the interview. Following the interview and containment of 323, Mr. Namagoose was administered amnestics and was reintroduced to his community. Please state your name for the record. James Namagoose. Please state your involvement with the murders. I help move the bodies for the Wendigo to eat. What do you know about the object? There is a story of the Kree-men back when fighting was common, who tried to control the Wendigo to give his people an advantage. It was just a story. The elders knew more, but we were safe, so we didn't ask. When did you first encounter the entity? One night I heard yelling all around the village. A warped man walked out of the woods, killed our friends right in front of us. Sometimes it would stare more than it would make to kill. Try to talk to you. It whispered to me, "Pemisto, come eat." It made me cold to my bones. And then? Then I felt like I could understand the warped man, the Wendigo, and that we could leave with him, like we all do when we pass. When I was made to kill, I thought of this and it calmed me. I didn't run. Mr. Namagoose closes his eyes and exhales slowly. After a minute, he resumes talking. It would look at me sometimes. I could hear him in my mind. I could feel him watching me from out my own eyes. This helped me watch these people die, and I hoped it would pass on my family. Thank you, Mr. Namagoose. Final note here. No mental effects similar to what Mr. Namagoose stated have yet to be reported by staff who have interacted with SCP-323 or 323-1. Further investigation into this is not planned. However, staff are encouraged to report any atypical thoughts or feelings experienced while working with either. Alright, that's it for now. I'm glad to be back, and you will see a lot more out of me. But just remember to be careful in the woods, especially if you hear any strange voices. You may all leave now. Sleep well tonight. Hello everyone, Dr. Redacted here, and I am just here to say thank you so much for listening to today's video. If you would rather listen to this on YouTube, just know that there is a YouTube version of the show, or if you would like to listen to it on Spotify or anything like that, just know that there is that route as well. I would also like to point out the fact that, hey, I now have a gaming channel. It is called Helsing Gaming currently. You can find it linked in the description below. There I play some video games and just, you know, chat more casually. It's a lot of fun over there. You guys should go check it out. But most importantly, I just wanted to say thank you so much for listening. If you like any more updates from me, just know that I do have social medias also linked down in the description below. And if you're listening to this on YouTube, be sure to do the thing that every YouTuber tells you to do. Like, comment, and subscribe. It really helps me out, and I can't thank you all enough. But until we meet again, I want to say goodnight, sweet dreams to all my fellow children of the night.